Sanjit, you'll just have to cut all this, is my point.
अरे हाँ हाँ सब कट हो जाएगा।
सब
तू
कट
ये
नहीं करना
बता,
सर. हाँ
हेलो हेलो हेलो, वेलकम बैक टू क्वीन इज डेड। आई एम संजीत, आई हैव ध्रुव एंड आर्यन विद मी, एंड टुडे वी हैव शाश्वत बैक विद अस आफ्टर नॉट सो
योर
वेरी लॉन्ग,
एनी
बिकॉज ईयर
इन
ही अपीयर्ड, व्हाट इज दिस,
द
ओके नेवर
बेस्ट
माइंड,
ऑफ हाफ ईयर.
या इन द बेस्ट ऑफ हाफ ईयर, नेवर माइंड। टुडे वी टॉक अबाउट द बेस्ट ऑफ द ईयर सो फार। वी टॉक अबाउट स्टफ दैट वी वॉच्ड from different languages and different festivals or whatever, everything that is available, but it doesn't include the shows that we speak. So we'll go chronologically and we'll talk about our lists, and if it's common we'll all jive in and also talk about why it is amongst our list of favorites. And we'll start with Shashwat. So Shashwat, you can go ahead with your list.
Yeah, so first of all, I have the common one. We have Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and I think it's better than the one that got away with all the attention and the Oscar last year. And it's a very it's a beautifully fitting sequel. I mean, it's also the right amount of fun to be called, I mean, a wee bit better than the original. And more closely, the writing knows when to take a pause, and there's this need to serve the it doesn't bother with the need to serve the aftermath. It's like a proper epic is what I really like about it. And but mostly the best thing about it is how it bothers with these real life concerns, which are and also the ones which are beyond the frame of the big screen, as we say. I mean, what we
Pun
get
intended.
in like Dune and yeah, right. So the fifth one in my chronology is that, and the fourth one is Showing Up,
No, so one
which is
second,
again,
sorry, Shashat. No, because we have
yeah.
Across the Spider-Verse for all of us, I think, on some level, right, on our list. We'll also sort of
Yeah,
chime in right now
definitely.
and whatever. So
Yeah,
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 Aryan, you
yeah.
can go
So
ahead
Dhruv,
first.
okay.
Achha,
Aryan, you
okay,
can.
fine, whatever.
The first of all, basically coming from a studio like Sony Pictures, I was really skeptical when I looked up and realized that this film is actually having different set of directors than the one that gave us Into the Spider-Verse. A film that I think it's definitely one of the best animated films I've ever watched, to be very honest.
Arin,
And
I can't see
that's
your
why I was a
excitement.
bit
I can't see your
skeptical.
excitement.
I
I
have
need
not
to.
slept in 2 days. This is how it's going to
No,
sound like. Anyways.
Body
I'm
did the
happy to.
voice to like a different level.
Okay.
Because
Yeah, I
you've been the
think
craziest
you like
of all of us. So,
it the
I'm
most
getting
amongst
there
all
now.
of us. Amongst all of us
Yeah,
here.
definitely.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
I think it was phenomenal because it not only improves upon the storytelling devices that the first film used so well, but it also expands upon the visual flair of it. Because in this film, I don't think I've seen anything quite like this film, because it actually uses its color palette and its visual design, visual architecture to inform the very emotions that these characters are going through, the very notions that these characters are going through. And there's this, I don't think if in fact, I realized this while I was watching the film, and I was just like, this movie is doing something very poetic on a deeper level, where it's tricking us into believing that it's the same continuation of a coming of age story that we got from in the first film, right? But there's this subtle one instance, okay? There's this one scene where Miles Morales' dad, okay, his father, is trying to, go chase after Spider-Man and whatever the name of the business, the
The
whole whatever.
spot.
The spot.
Yes.
So they're chasing him, okay? And
Yep.
he's like contemplating whether to take a jump, whether to take a dive and chase them both. And we cut to him running down the flight of stairs, okay? And
Yeah.
it's the same actual juxtaposition. It's the same parallel that we got in the first film with Miles when he was accepting and coming on terms with him
having these new capabilities of being Spider-Man, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Of going through this adolescent changes
mm-hmm.
that he was going on terms with, okay, in the first film. And
mm-hmm.
that's a subtle way of this film making it was telling us that this is not actually a coming of age story of Miles, but actually about a coming of age story of his parents.
Mm.
And I think the way the film expands on that, and throughout, I saw a lot of this criticism initially when the film came out, that the first half, especially the first act, revolves and dedicates a lot of time into giving us backstories and, you know, a lot of those family dramatics, okay? And I saw this criticism a lot, that the film takes a while to get into the action, okay?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's only then when you realize that, no, this is the point. It's actually the coming of age story of his parents.
Yeah.
And it's those slow moments where Miles is having that conversation on his father's birthday party, right? When
yeah.
he's just
on the terrace.
Was it his birthday party?
Yeah.
On the terrace. And it's that conversation that he's having with his mother. And it's just played so slow.
Yeah.
And I think it's phenomenal. I think I do have some problems with the way it transitions from its second to third act, because it has to, you know, live up to certain story beats and also set up this little cliffhanger that would actually whatever, we'll hopefully get that movie next year. But yeah, I think apart from those minor quick bits, I really think that this is, you know, people are talking about how this might be one of the best superhero trilogies, or one of the best superhero trilogies we might ever get. I think even just with the second film, it's already proven to be one of the best trilogies ever.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the filmmakers are going to let us down with the third film. And I'm so glad that the same team of writers and directors are returning for the third film.
Yeah.
Because now I realize, when I said that I was stupid for being skeptical about this film having a different set of directors, because it does feel like a different film from Into the Spider-Verse. And I'm so glad that it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I guess I was in the minority for not liking it, but I admired Into the Spider-Verse much more than I sort of, you know, fell in love with it. I loved the animation in that film, but I thought the narrative sort of was a little slack. It sort of allowed itself to, you know, follow the routine beats of Spider-Man. And well, I think it also came around the time where we were getting introduced to multiverses and all that, right? So I think it sort of added on to that fatigue, and for me at least. I think this is, I said this before we started recording and you guys looked at me funnily, but I was like, this to me strikes a little bit like The Last Jedi for the Star Wars thing. It's a this is a much better film than that. I think Last Jedi has a lot of tonal flaws for me, and a lot of other things but I think the thing here, animation
sits in the canon.
Yes, so animation, as Aryan has already said, it's phenomenal. It was phenomenal Into the Spider-Verse. Here, I think it's very much a step up even. One of my favorite bits of animation, and this is the Gwen story, and how that sort of, you know, water wash.
I was going to mention
her dynamic with
absolutely sensational. Like whenever that sort of played, I thought that was what Aryan was saying about, you know, emotions being reflected through the animation styles themselves. I think that showed very beautifully with the Gwen story especially. But I think the Last Jedi comparison is why I make it, is because it's about challenging the canon. It's about, you know, something that's established. This idea that there was one Spider-Man, which, like, the film opens with saying that he wasn't the only one. Like, it repeatedly mentions that notion. And then the villains of this film, the Spot is, of course, the main villain in some senses. But it is Spider-Man as villain.
Spider-Man, yeah.
The Spider-Man society kind of. And then if you want to extrapolate this into, like, real world examples, but you can also extrapolate it into saying that, you know, Miles Morales is the Black Spider-Man. And he's the one who's been excluded by this Spider-Man society. Like, why? Like, you know, all these things are sort of there in the film without being really, you know, on the face with it, I think. And of course, these are the sort of, you know, thematic things that are working, but at the same time, I think as Aryan was saying and as Shashwat was saying, that these, it's still working wonderfully on a entertainment level. I thought the idea to integrate Gwen's storyline into this film was lovely. I thought it almost like expanded,
especially
into
the subversion,
direction.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yep. The opening.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those films that, to me at least, is like, it's of course molded by convention. It's a mainstream film.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. made
yeah.
a lot of, but it's like consistently grappling to break through it. It does actually break yeah. through it multiple times, I feel. And like, of course, the fact that the animation is so radical, the animation is so popping, like, you know, if you integrate that with the narrative here, which sort of, you know, challenges
mm-hmm.
whatever the notion is of what we know about mm-hmm. Spider-Man and Spider-Man, I think that sort mm-hmm. of is what got to me at least. And I was like pretty giddy about it, like throughout. And I teared up
mm-hmm.
a couple of times, which again, I consider a big, big thing, I feel. And
yeah,
my problems with the film remains like Aryan's. I think the third act, I think, is a little, I don't think the film knows when to end. And I think
that's the same issue that I felt too. That's why I'm,
yeah.
okay, I like the, I mean, okay, you continue, finish it. Then
no, no, yeah, it was basically that only. And I feel, I don't know if the next film can be this canon
good.
Challenging, because I think it will need mm-hmm. to reconcile a lot of the things that it's set up
mm-hmm.
here. And, you know, I think, I don't know if it will, maybe they do, like, I don't know, but I mean, I'll
mm-hmm.
be there to watch the animation, if nothing else, right? Because I think it's phenomenal on just a visual, aural level.
Visual,
like, I think,
yeah,
and
yeah.
even aural level, I think it sounds amazing.
It is a part of the reason, a part of the big reason why this film has resonated so well with the global audience is that despite the sensory and the oral overload, okay,
yeah.
despite that over-sensational visual style of the film, it never feels overwritten until that last act hits.
Yeah.
But even then, it is living up to those cliffhangers that we tend to get in comic books, right?
Yeah.
So it even that's thematically right with the vision that the filmmakers are posing right in front of us. So I think it's very, I genuinely think it's
no, this I've told this like again and again how much I've become estranged from a lot of blockbusters recently. This is the one film which
mm-hmm.
I've seen after a long while where I was like, okay,
yeah,
I am firmly on board. Like, I want this more than anything else. Maybe like it's just
yeah.
my, it appeals to my sensibility, I suppose. I think animation
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's easier for me to emotionally engage. Like, it makes my
mm-hmm.
senses, it overwhelms
mm-hmm.
my senses more easily, I suppose, than live action sometimes. So I think that worked. It's
mm-hmm.
in also, but yeah, Sanjeev, go ahead. What were you saying?
Yeah, I think again, like we'll talk about the ending again because I really wanted to specifically mention that. I mean, I like the film as much.
Mm.
I mean, not as much as you guys do probably, but I still love it.
Mm.
I think there's a fair bit of appreciation that it needs to get. I think there's like a lot of flamboyance which I absolutely liked in terms of animation, because like the way like certain, you know, actions take place in a certain moment actually, like, you know, are very eye-catching personally. So it became like a very specific thing. I think the animation style improved on the first one. The first one was more glitchier. I think it had those
purposefully though, no? I think.
Purposefully.
From
yes,
whatever
yes, yes.
I remember. Yeah.
For sure. I'm just saying in general. And I feel this one works much more for me. I don't know. Than I expected.
Yeah.
On a story wise, I think it's fairly universal. It talks about a lot about identity, and
yeah.
I think the writing itself is so smart because it's using every character for their specific purpose. Also, those characters exist in their own space.
Yeah,
and I liked how
also like it touches upon, you know, the parenting issues which, you know, were teased in the, you know, first part rather.
Yes,
in a better,
it's much more in depth.
Like, yeah, the trials of parenting, you know, teenagers especially, it should be that way.
Yeah. So I think it does have like a lot of things that I appreciated. But then I think the ending felt a little abrupt to me. So I feel I'm not the best judge of this film, technically, because I would like to watch the second film and I would judge them
together
as a whole.
This is
because
the
I feel
part one, Dune part
the
one.
The Dune, yeah, exactly.
Or you can say like Pony and Selvan for me in that case.
Yeah.
Because I would like to watch the whole thing and then judge it, because otherwise I feel it's not the whole story, right? It's like,
I mean, like I think this gives you a whole story in terms of some characters. Like Gwen's story feels like a full story here.
For sure, for sure. Me. I mean, so like when I spoke about characters, I wanted to speak also about that punk
Spider-Punk, yeah.
The Spider-Punk character who's always anti-authority, and that is the one character who helps Miles Morales also out.
I mean, that feels... they form a team, right? The whole team that they form is like by the end. Spoilers for whoever's not seen this film, which I don't think any of our listeners have not seen this film. No, I think the spider, it's like Spider-Punk and like a lot of the people who were in the first part. I think they are the team for with Gwen to save Miles. I think that's the whole. It's the authoritarian Spider-Man, which are like different. On the different side?
No, I mean, that's okay. I was just talking like how that character also got it its own...
Yes, like, yes, of course.
It had its own space to function.
Yeah.
So what it wasn't just like...
the Indian thingy?
It was nice. Okay. I didn't mind it. It was pretty good.
Many stereotypes, obviously, but...
Huh, I guess I always have a pet peeve of like...
I mean, it's
just
not
find...
accurate Indian representation
no,
irrespective.
I know, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
But it's still fairly...
But then awkward. Again, from what I remember, it's like... it's taken its inspiration from the 60s comic. Right?
Comics, yeah. Indian comics.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Indian Spider-Man comics, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, no. I mean, I have a voice ka issue, I feel, with voice cast. Like, I'd rather have, like, just an out-and-out Indian person do it rather than... I always feel it's, like, impersonation of an Indian accent, which I'm allergic to.
And it's the same guy.
I know, he's the Deadpool guy, right?
Yeah.
The one stock Indian actor who they hire for everything. Yes.
Yeah.
So good. Minor, okay, minor that's... quibble. Minor quibble. Anyways, next movie, Joshua. Go for it.
So yeah, the next one also is our common thread, of course, showing up. And you know, I've not seen much of Kelly Richards films to call myself a fan. Only three of them, but among them, I guess this one is the most understated and also the funniest. And you know, I don't know about you all, but the one thing that I do, or I try to do at least myself, or you know, this is a personally I find this really moving, that you know, you can make art and then you can make other people who you want to make a part of your lives, a part of your lives, basically.
Yeah.
Or those who are already a part of your lives. So, I mean, you know, and this can happen, and this can happen in an even better way when you blend the two art forms. As we see here, like the sculpting, the way she incorporates sculpting and other forms of art in the film, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
And she, like, much like her previous 84 films, was how she puts you in this really personal story, and there's this relationship between two women that it basically focuses on. And even more, I mean, I usually don't read up on films before, you know, I am done with them, or you know, done writing about them. But this time I cheated just to see what art school have they used in the production, and what is that art school specifically. I know it's in Oregon, because
most of Kelly Riker's films are set in Portland, Oregon. That's the place where she shoots
signature. So I mean, I came to know about this college, Oregon College of Art and Craft, and that it closed in 2019, so it also you know, works as a tribute to
institution
in a very that's also one thing that really moved me. Plus you know, I also thought that Michelle Williams, ek to Hong Chau is omnipresent these days in
this is the best use of Hong Chau. I think I know Hong Chau has been used very well in other movies, but I think this is all this is like she has a cameo in Asteroid City also, the new Wes Anderson film. So but like everyone has a cameo in that, so I mean
so, and plus she was incredible, of course, but also it made me think how better life would be if Michelle Williams chose more of these, you know, dark circle ridden characters and, you know,
he's,
who are just
yeah.
doing their thing and doing nothing else.
But
and how
Sasha,
funny that becomes.
This type
yeah.
of performance will never get its due. Like this performance
yeah,
is
yeah,
just,
yeah.
Neither will Rijkaard or neither will this performance, I think, because both are operating at such a, and this is my favorite film of the year, by the way, so far.
Yeah.
And I described it. Sorry, Sanjit, I'm invoking it. I told you I will once. This is my anti.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically anti Bo is Afraid for me from A24. This is like the filmmaking sensibility and like the whole idea
mm-hmm.
of making this film on such a smaller, like small scale, everything toned down, everything, you know, tuned
mm-hmm.
down.
Plus, in a way, she wants
okay,
to
okay.
she wants to return to her family too, just to her.
yes. Without, again,
okay.
See, the only reason I'm making this comparison is because I watched Bo is Afraid straight after rewatching this in the cinema. And I was like, how odd to watch
okay.
these two totally different films made by A24. Anyways,
so not double bill then?
No, it's not. absolutely not.
Okay.
I think, but anyways, my point is that, see, I'm a Rijkaard fan boy. I would say that I've watched most of her work. I think she's
yeah.
one of our best filmmakers currently, I think, working. And I think what Shashwat said, a lot of it, I think I'm in agreement only. I think it's her happiest film, which I think is like the weirdest thing to say about a Rijkaard film. I think she makes pretty sad films otherwise, but it is her happiest film. And I also feel it's strange to recommend to a lot of people. Like I told you, like I think it's very loose. Like it's looser than her usual films also. Like it.
Okay.
It's,
okay.
And I think one of the things, because I've seen it twice.
When you say loose, what do you really mean?
Plot-wise. Like it's plot. Like
okay,
its
okay.
plot is, it's kind of non-existent. The one thing I,
is it,
while taking.
Is it, about the, is it about the stakes of it? Is it, are you talking about stakes?
Yeah, the stakes are also pretty low, but like I don't think she's a filmmaker who like, you know, up the stakes also a lot. So I think one of the things I wrote was, think Steve Jobs minus like the Danny Boyle film, minus all the histrionics and like lectures. It's basically a sculptor making something because her exhibition is going to happen.
Okay.
And how she encounters her life and like daily life around, like, you know, with people around. And the whole film
and
sort of revolves around that.
That way.
Yeah, yeah. And like one
so,
of the
shouldn't it be reminding you of Hereditary and not Bo is Afraid?
What
the I'm sorry,
scattered.
I've not watched the film.
The miniatures.
No, the miniatures.
The miniatures.
And
it's
reflecting around
her. Yeah, but again, she's not a loud director.
No.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, of course, she's not operating in the same genre.
I'm sorry for
know.
Ruining. I'm not.
No, you didn't ruin it. Don't worry.
I quite liked her first cover a lot.
No, this is very different though, I think, from First Cow. This is like very low-key, I feel, in a sense that...
More low-key.
Yeah. I think more low-key than
okay.
First Cow, because I think First Cow has like a proper plot and all, and you know,
yeah.
it's about like capitalism and whatever.
Yeah.
Sector.
But aren't most of her films about that?
Capitalism. I mean, some
yeah.
of them are... Even this is...
And the
sense,
co-writer that she works with, if I'm not
wrong. Ray... Ray Chan? Let me see. Anyways, till then, I will basically say that one of the joys of this film is, again, I alluded to this in when we were talking about Across the Spider-Verse. It feels like it moves around the character, you know, like it's not just about her. In fact, I think sometimes the camera is telling her where to go. Like I watched the second time and I was like noticing moments where, you know, the camera is on her and then just moves away to focus on something else. Or like, you know, it begins somewhere else and she enters the space in like a different sort of mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's like the film is trying to make this grumpy, like really sad. Like she's not a sad character, actually. I think the film really respects her art.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
it's like it's telling her, like, you know, look at other things and you'll find even more inspiration for your work. Like, to me, it strikes like that. And it's the undercurrent of the rivalry she has with Hong Xiao's character is like there throughout. That's, if there's a plot in that, it's that these two are like rival artists, but like, again, it's underplayed to like a different sort of degree. But like gradually you see one of the other things, sorry, I will quickly wrap this up because I know there's so many films to talk about.
And it's only visually expressed this rivalry. I mean,
exactly.
The way she goes to see her art, I mean, the Michelle Williams character goes to see Hong Chau's
that's
art.
My favorite
and the way
scene,
she,
I think. One of my favorite.
That's fine too. That's why I mentioned it. And, she does that thing with her eyes, and then someone calls her for the pigeon, which she has to take care of.
So basically there's a like motifs, like the pigeon is like the central motif, I feel, in many ways. And it's like a through line to like chart the relationship between these two characters, I feel. And like you see the role of the pigeon like change through the film. So it's not like one, it's like, it's not
they
like.
They might as well have named it Last Pigeon. I mean.
Yes, they could have. Yes, absolutely. Nee, but I mean, it's a lovely movie. It's got a wonderful ending, I think. Like a really lovely, wonderfully executed ending. Like it feels like it goes into like a fantasy realm for a second. I was wow. There's not much to spoil, Sanjeev. I really, I have a great affection for this film. I mean, it's... And Michelle Williams... After
is it available anywhere?
Yeah, I think it's available online officially and unofficially, both. So you can rent it also, Sanjeev. Support the movie.
Sure.
Considering
support
it made, it made less money than Bo is Afraid, but then cost also like one third.
But
of it.
Yeah, I mean, of course. Yeah. You have to look at that.
Yes.
Okay, Shashwat,
okay,
next one.
Yes.
So the second one for me, the third one is the longest title we would have for a film this year, a major film this year. Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Which is based.
I was planning to watch that
today. You like it?
I'm halfway through it.
I guess you'll love it.
It has.
So of course adapted from this Jude Bloom classic, which I didn't know was really well loved until I finished the film. But it's a proper novelistic coming of age film, which is served in a very in a somewhat anti the Edge of 17 fashion. As a follower. I mean, it's it's a very well-realized coming-of-age drama, but in a very chronological fashion, I mean, it goes from the very beginning to the very end. I mean, it follows this proper setup, and Abby Ryder-Fortson, the kid, she, spearheads the film with so much charm, and, it promises us this, talent to look out for. I think she was in the Ant-Man films as well, right?
I mean, I don't remember.
I mean, she looked familiar, but like, I didn't know.
Ant-Man 3, I think.
There was this really compelling performance. And the best part about the film is that, most of the coming of age films that I love, they focus on these, key elements that I connect to usually. I mean, loneliness and standing out from the crowd and not liking the fact that you stand out from the crowd and trying to blend in anyway in that later stage of your life. These are very essential things in anyone's coming of age process, but the thing that most directors often overlook, which doesn't make their films bad, but I mean, they do overlook this, that a cultural consciousness and awareness about our bodies and our surroundings, that also happens. And the awareness about religion and these are also the part of growing up. And this is what is basically spotlighted here, which makes it stand out from the other coming of age stuff that we have. And, one of these Letterboxd reviews that I read, I'm not really a fan of these, short one-liners that they give out, but there's one thing that I read which I totally agree on. One of them said that it was a message to Hollywood that give Kelly Sherman Craig all the money and just get the fuck out of her way, and that's basically what is the need of the hour.
No, it's lovely. Just to plug her name, Rachel McAdams is lovely in this.
I think
she was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Nantakal is my favorite Nero LJP film after this E. Maya and I actually thought that he was losing the track after E. Maya. I mean Jallikattu made the waves and
I
Churu
completely
was
disagree,
not
but
as
it's
well
okay.
received.
I mean, who are we to say he's
So
losing track,
and
honestly, man? Like, he doesn't even care
I
that if he
no
watches films.
he did intermittently. I think
Really?
I won't lie.
I don't think so. I think it's a good interlude. Churuli
I
is a
enjoyed
great interlude.
Churuli, but I mean, I think he's
I
a unique
liked
director who like just tries to do stuff, like
Yeah,
a lot of
I
stuff.
liked Churuli as well. I mean, it's a very it, in the realm of folk horror, it's one of the best we have. So yeah, Churuli was good, and Jallikattu was along the same lines. I feel, but this one is closer to E. Maya in terms of its humor, and of course we'll discuss how darkly funny it is, and it's E. Maya has that this one way of looking at death. That it can be at this one way of looking at death, that it can be darkly funny, but and then this he comes with this film Nanpakal, which doesn't have a one way of looking at its narrative only, not in a way. I mean, it doesn't even have a single language to look at the narrative. We have two languages here, two regions. So I mean, it's that it has this, I usually am a sucker for movies that have this eccentric swerve of, a Western, an afternoon Western, and which this one I feel nails. And of course we'll discuss the other aspects of it, but the one thing that the one reading of the film that I connect to the most is how it works as a reminder that our favorite stars are also performers, and we constantly need to acknowledge their status as performers rather than the
For sure.
icons. And in this way it pays tribute to Mammootty, because he's the one star who does this more frequently than his counterparts in, I feel, any Indian industry. So that reading of the film makes it even better for me. So that was it.
I
Go.
mean, me and Dhruv have discussed it much more of before
I
also, and
actually, I liked it more on a rewatch. I still think I like it less than I would like. It seems so much like my type of movie. I almost feel that I like it a slight. I like it still slightly less than
But we
what you
also
guys do.
speak about
I
like
think didn't
how.
we do an episode on this film, if I'm not
We
wrong?
did a best
We did,
of.
right?
No, we did a best of
Best
Indian with Mahidar, I
Mahidar.
think. We haven't done a individual.
Okay.
We've had planned, but like all
I
plans don't
think
come.
I don't think there's going to be any other Indian film from this year that is going to, encourage this kind of an intellectual and
Oh
this
yeah.
kind of a melancholic discourse.
I mean,
I
directed.
think
I think
this
this is the best directed film of the. I mean, I would be
it's
shocked if you
not just
find
the
anything else.
direction. I think just the celestial and intellectual planes that this film is playing on, and especially for someone who's not from either of the states, okay, where the film is based upon, even then it hits me so hard, because I know that it's still closer to me, the geography of this place. I know what it means in the larger context of our country, right? And I think the way this film plays with notions of identity, of having not having other identity, and feeling lost and being jolted and
Border
getting
blurring,
woven
no?
up to that. Yeah, I think it is masterful, and I've watched it in a packed crowd with a proper local crowd, that people from Keralites that actually came out of their way and supported this small film, okay? And it's just the
It's not about
reaction
supporting.
of
I think it's their culture.
everyone.
They would watch generally
No,
also.
but this type of film, right? I wasn't expecting
No,
that
even
kind of a
in
thing.
where I am, like people, it was a
Yeah.
small theater, but it was full house, and it was like an early morning show,
Okay.
and there are early morning
But
shows
for
in India.
recent
It's
films, encouraging only, yeah, because like I
I'm
saw
talking about
Nanpakal, and
Nanpakal.
I was like Nanpakal mein, I can't imagine an audience for Nanpakal, like in my head, because
Yeah,
again, yeah, I
exactly.
was shocked at how much it sort of owes
No,
to
but there is
slow
an
cinema,
audience.
or like is
Jallikattu, I
part of
still
it.
remember
That's
in
but it
20.
was It was
Jallikattu
beautiful for me to
is
sit
momentous,
around.
No? Like, but it has like a
Yeah,
moment.
and it is
It
sensory.
doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's much
Achha,
more for their
okay.
cultural significance.
Got it.
Yeah, they understand what is screenplay. We don't even like if you go anywhere in Northern India, they
Yeah.
don't even understand the word what is screenplay.
Yes.
You get the
Yeah,
difference. It's
exactly.
like they would generally speak, they know how to appreciate things. That's a different cultural context.
Yeah.
So when I watched it, it was like a full house for me also, and at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Amazing.
And there are no morning
Exactly.
shows here. There's no culture of
मेरे
watching
शो में
films in
कोई
the
नहीं था, मैं 1 बजे गया था.
हाँ, बट इट्स लाइक
आई
यू वॉच्ड ऑल्सो लिटिल लेटर नो, और यू
वॉज्ड इन
वॉच्ड इट
दुबई
इन
आई थिंक सेकेंड
ओपनिंग
वीक.
वीकेंड.
सेकेंड वीक आई ऑल्सो वॉच्ड ऑन
ओके
अ
या
वीक डे
ओके
ऑन
ओके
ऑन ऑन एट 1 PM. सो आई गेस आई एम माई सेल्फ टू
प्रॉब्ली
ब्लेम फॉर दैट
प्रॉब्ली
फॉर हैविंग नो ऑडियंस एंड फॉर
या
नॉट नोइंग
बट यू
दैट
नो फॉर
इट्स
जस्ट
यू
सिटिंग
नो.
इन दैट थिएटर एंड हैविंग दिस एक्सपीरियंस सिटिंग इन द मिडल ऑफ दिस कम्युनिटी दैट यू नो एक्चुअली एक्नॉलेजेस एंड अप्रिशिएट्स दिस दीस काइंड्स ऑफ फिल्म्स ओके दीस काइंड्स ऑफ स्टोरीज आई मीन व्हाट इवन इफ आई वॉच ऑल दीज summer blockbusters now in the upcoming weeks that is always going to be a kind of a theatrical experience I would always want to keep going back to right I
Of
think
course. Go for Jailer
yeah
when it comes out.
That's Lilo
The
again.
sorry
No, that's Rajinikanth's movie, but it's another experience right cinema
Acha,
going
okay.
right
Yes. Sanjeet, anything more on
Samir
Nanpakal? I think we covered it before also,
yeah
and
we've covered more or
you
less
to loved it even in the first watch, right? So I was the one who was sort of lagging
Something that I
behind.
discovered recently
Sound
was
design.
that something that I discovered recently was that Lisa Joseph's father
Yeah.
we worked under the direction you like the thing is kind of like it's his personal experience actually the going in buses because his father was also part of Tilakan's drama company whose name is written on the bus at the end if you see it it says
When
in the
it's
subtitle
moving
in the
out,
last
okay.
shot
Yeah, last shot,
Haan.
okay.
So his father was part of that company, and so
Interesting.
he used to travel with the actors. So it's
Ah,
kind of taken from his own
Got
childhood
it.
experiences and ideas and stuff that they've stayed
I
and
though still
everything.
remember how, like, just this. I mean, the static shots are amazing, but even just like the architecture of the village and just, you know,
Yeah,
the how
very
he uses
specific.
like all of these windows, which are windows and doors, which are sort of open and close and sort of, you know,
Yeah,
it's the
exactly.
whole
Yeah.
portal thing, right? You're like moving from one state to
Yeah.
another state in a sense. And yeah, this
I think
portal
it
thing
just
is culturally also
reinforces
very.
that mindscape that the film puts you.
Yeah. Very
And
meditative, I think, in one
I
sense.
think it has that singular best shot I'll watch this
Oh yeah, the
entire
one where the two families are
two frames, two
separated.
windows.
Two
Yeah. It
families are
I think
separated
it's
from yeah, I know what you
same
mean.
generations, different backgrounds,
Yep.
and yet they're
There's
like
yeah,
in their
like just
own.
it's again direction. Film
I
direction
think
wise.
it
It's
is profound. It
yeah.
is profound. Yeah.
Of course, of course.
Last your final film, Shashwat. Final meaning your favorite.
Final and
Yeah.
yeah, my favorite. So that would be Faraz Ali's Shoebox, which I, by the way, watched last year.
Oh yeah.
So that's I'm shading on it, but also I rewatched it. I because the first time I watched it, I didn't like it at all, to
Okay.
be honest. I mean, because it's somewhat. I mean, I liked the way it was framed and everything, but it had this strong political consciousness as well. But it frustrated me because I felt that it did not operate on its brief the way you would expect for a film to be so to be. I mean, to become a lamentation in a way, and that too a very slow burning lamentation. So it's it has the, but then when I rewatched it this year, I mean it I felt that it had this astute sort of sincerity that a grandstanding political film just cannot afford. The way human drama can about a daughter who is trying to take care of her ailing father, and the way this mundane real life thing has been paralleled with central government's decision to change the name of Allahabad to Prayagraj in 2018, which it did. And what we think, what even most of the people who have this political consciousness, even they would, I know some people like that who think that changing the name of a place doesn't change its landscape or it doesn't do
Essence.
something to it. and especially small towns, because growing up in a small town, I know what harm it does to her. And these places, like, of course, Varanasi and Allahabad, these are still small towns at heart. And, you know, changing the name makes a lot of difference to the way the politics operates. Even if the said party is not in the power, it will linger on. It will haunt it. And, you know, that's why it, even if I didn't like it much, till the end of the year, it stayed with me and I decided to rewatch it. And it comes together like really strongly, and it has these bleak aesthetics. And Amrita Bagchi delivers the, for me, the best performance in any Indian film this year. I mean, it moved me a lot.
Can I ask you something? So, you were saying about the whole political sweeping changes that are happening. So are these sort of backgrounded and then the foreground is the personal story? Or is it like back and forth?
I think it goes parallel. I mean, the characters who are part of this personal story, I mean, they are also the part of the political one, because it's also a very, you know, an ode to cinema, because the leading character's family owns a cinema hall, which is a single screen cinema hall, which is about to be taken down for the construction of a mall, which is to be unveiled by the ruling parties.
Got it. Okay. So it's more integrated. I was thinking more of Arun Karthik's Nasir or Nasir, which is very much personal, but like political forces are like outside, sort of everything's happening in the background. Like the world is.
I like the dichotomous sound of this, because it's like, in a way, it's also like modernity approaching with the construction of a little mall, but also those traditional bigoted undercurrents.
I mean, interesting.
I don't know why I haven't watched it.
Because it's online.
I had the chance to watch it. I was in Mumbai during the Kala Ghoda festival. It screened and so many people went and like supported it. I don't know why I didn't go.
Okay.
You were watching that British horror film, whichever one you were reviewing. The Bargain Basement one.
I also have to rewatch Insidious.
Okay.
Insidious.
Fun.
Yeah.
Because Insidious, the red door is coming out. I was like, what the hell is that?
Patrick Wilson himself made it.
He's directing, right?
Yeah.
Saving the money.
Saving it's so scary.
Yeah. Okay, Aryan, Sanjeev, we can move on to your list.
We
can go with Aryan because
Sociopolitical tangent, I think.
Yes.
I think the most viscerally shaking movie that I'm sure that I won't see a better documentary in a while than Barbie watched by Vinay Shukla. I think I started watching it expecting to have this certain kind of bias for my own beliefs and certain core values, and the very fact that I have been following Ravish Kumar as a journalist since quite a while, and I've seen him as the only beacon of hope in the mainstream media narrative for quite a while. And watching this documentary, which was shot leading up to the 2019 general elections in India, and watching it now in 2022, 2023, with the knowledge of all those things that have happened since, I think it just adds into the commentary that it's trying. I don't even think it's trying to make a commentary. It just presents us. And Vinay Shukla said this in an interview. I am obviously paraphrasing that he had some 48 or 50 hours of footage for this documentary. More than that, if I'm not wrong. And I think the way it is edited, I did have a problem with the way it flowed during the first 20-30 minutes. And I was like, what is this style? I'm not clicking with this. But once it gets going, once you develop the flow of it, I think I was startled by the end of it. And I think this is, I don't see it getting...
Where do we watch it, Arya?
Anytime soon.
Absolutely.
I watched it on the screen. I had to review it. I would love if you could...
Why I asked, where do we watch it?
We can go to UK.
We all go to UK.
I'm glad that I'm glad that they have released an official trailer citing an Indian release date. Like, it's not specified, but
There is
I
a
would
release
love
date.
to. No, there's not a release date, but I think some Indian distributor recently released a short trailer or something. So
Okay.
I would love
But you
it
know,
getting a wide release in India, but I
the
don't know.
same maker, they made this,
Yeah.
the previous one that he made was
Aam Aadmi Party. Yeah.
an insignificant man, correct?
And
Oh,
Insignificant.
okay. And they had
Along
like a
with Khushbu
very,
Ranka, I think. The same
yes, and
director.
they had a
That's why
very
that's why I was skeptical. Yeah.
strategic release. Do you remember the release strategy
Yeah.
of that film?
Yeah, exactly.
It was like, if the people demand it, we are going to put it. And that's what happened. And that's why they made like a lot of money and like it was a success.
Okay.
They
Interesting. It was a
got
good
it out of
strategy. But
Matthew
I
Brown.
don't see that
Because that's where
happening
I
with this
watched.
film.
At
Which
this
one?
point, even if Ravish Kumar releases on his YouTube channel, it'll get more
What
views
were
from
you saying,
Ravish
Shashwat?
Kumar.
Sorry.
This An Insignificant Man, I think I watched it on YouTube when it came out. Because
Yeah,
it was
it's there.
there
Yeah.
only, right? Kunal Kamra
Kunal
makes it
Kamra's
very
channel.
famous. He
Yeah,
writes a lot of it.
Oh, yeah, right.
But I
So,
think this is genuinely too cinematic of a documentary to be just put out like that. I genuinely think the ending of this documentary, and it's one of those instances where the real life in itself takes a course, and the poetic undercurrents in this documentary, the way Ravish Kumar is professional, I don't want to say or speak for his personal life, obviously, but the way his personal and professional life overlaps and intertwines through this documentary, I mean, how can it be
So it's
so?
also 90 minutes, right? Or
Yeah,
something
it's
very
90-92
short.
minutes. Yeah.
And some editing feat on there. Yeah.
Compressing 48 hours of footage into
I
like
mean, but I
that.
think that's a very regular
But
documentarian
it
thing, right?
shows, to be honest, it
Okay.
shows a lot during the first 20-30 minutes, the way it doesn't flow very well. But I some of those recurring motives, okay, like it, in Hindi, the official name of the documentary is Namaskar, Main Ravish Kumar. And the way the film, the
नमस्कार मेरा
documentary tweaks
नमस्कार मैं
Namaskar, Main
रवीश
Ravish Kumar. So
कुमार
that's how
द
he starts
लाइन
every column, right? And
या
the way the
ओके
film turns that into a motive and turns it into the sinister beat by the end, and yet maintain and retain that optimistic, hopeful tone. And oh God, I just really hope that it gets a wide release in India.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm looking forward to watching that whenever we can. What's the next light? So the next film is about people shooting people.
Which one?
John Wick, I'm guessing. I
John Wick
don't
4.
John Wick. Oh,
Yeah.
yes.
Which you have
Okay,
discussed with
actually, you have discussed with
Amartya.
Amartya, right?
A film that I watched twice in the theater,
A
and
film that I
correct.
haven't dared to watch once.
It's, yeah, that is
1800s.
definitely overlong, but who cares? Who cares? It is
Who
one of the
cares?
most
I
gorgeous
care.
looking
This who
films.
cares is my
Who
response to Indiana Jones also, honestly.
It feels
cares?
long and it doesn't have to be long. This film is long, but you can't stop looking at it. That's
You
how
can
good
say
it
the
is.
same thing about John Wick 4 also.
No, you can't. It's plastic. CGI algorithm is plastic.
I asked Sanjeev if what should, as a John Wick, as a person who has a flat line for all John Wick films, I have legitimately no emotional reaction to
No,
any
I
of them.
only like the first one. I've never clicked. I don't even remember going into the fourth film. I
Okay.
hardly remembered the second film at all. I remember parts of the third film with the entire mirror
I mean, I've always
reflection, whatever
liked the
sequence.
action, but I've never been like, I'm not a
Yeah,
Keanu
it's
Reeves guy, I
never
feel.
been memorable or anything. And even the story, it is like, it is BS, right? It is full BS.
Yeah, I mean, of
And to
course, but
imagine
that's
that
not what
all
you
these
go. Yeah.
four, the fact that all these four films play out in a series of like in a couple of weeks, you don't buy that, okay? But then
I mean,
just the artistry on screen in this film, I think it is, I th definitely one of the best films I've seen. Yeah. And one of the best action films
Wait till
ever.
you're dead reckoning. Let's see what happens there.
Yeah, let's see. I think
Yeah.
it's a great year for action films and could have been a great year for adventure films as well.
संजीत के लिए
It's okay. It's not that I don't like John. I still like it quite a lot.
You didn't like it as much as whatever people I think went crazy about it. Yeah.
Then what would your last?
I think I want to keep rewatching that entire Rome act. The second act of the, I don't even know, the entire film is structured in such a way that each act of the film is a giant action set piece within an action set
but
piece.
But isn't that a bit like Fallout?
It is mind-boggling.
Mission Impossible Fallout. And...
No. Mission Impossible Fallout has a lot of those breathing moments.
Okay. Oh, this doesn't have any breathing moments only?
No. Not so.
2 hours, 45 minutes with no breathing moments.
Dude, it is... I just watch it. I just want to keep playing it all around my like four walls of the room. That's how good it looks. And that's how good it is presented.
Okay, wow.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that the news of also spoiled.
Oh, yes, I know. I think I edited.
You know, you edited the episode.
Yes, yes, I did. You guys have spoiled John Wick and Succession for me. So, congratulations.
John Wick, as if you cared any.
Oh, God.
I didn't, but yeah.
No, but still, I think it doesn't matter now. And this is what I...
Yeah, he's alive, no?
Him.
Sorry.
Spoiler. Yeah, they'll do something. The way this film ended was so poignantly and so beautifully done. The entire, the line where he says, "Vincent, take me home." I think it is one of the most poignant lines in any action film that I've watched.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, oh, because it's made money, we didn't expect it making this much money.
Maybe he's not dead. But it's that was there, and he should have died a lot of times before.
To be very honest, that's my only flaw with the film.
Wow. I mean, I see, I'm still skeptical about my reaction to it. That's why I avoided it. I'm like, let even more hype die down and I'll see it. Because I've just had such a flatline reaction to all of them. Anyways,
I remember the second and the third films not getting that hard of a release in the city where I live.
Huh.
And this film was playing for like 5 consecutive weeks. And I was like, oh my God. Are you?
Dobar aap dekha? Shashwat ka hai,
your last film. I don't know.
बोलो आप अपना फिफ्थ के फोर्थ फिफ्थ कौन सी थी
फोर्थ
हो गई अच्छा फोर्थ वाज नन पक्कल
जोरम ओ सॉरी
अच्छा जोरम बाकी है
बोलो जोरम
या फिर मास्टर गार्डनर बोल दो ताकि मैं हार्ट अटैक से
मर जाऊं नहीं उतना भी मतलब ठीक है मतलब यार लास्ट फ्रेम वाज सो नाइस
लास्ट फ्रेम इज वेरी नाइस बट यू हैव टू बाय द फैक्ट दैट दैट विल एक्चुअली हैपन नो आई वाज लाइक ओके
बट दैट आई थिंक दैट वाज द पॉइंट आई थिंक
दैट
वाज दैट
यू आर नॉट सपोज्ड टू बाय द रोमांस
नो द थिंग इज अरे वो तो भाई कार्ड काउंटर से तो बेटर है अभी
आई डोंट थिंक सो बट ओके you like the flashbacks
I don't think
in this
it's
more
better
than
card
counter. The flashbacks in this are so
bad.
Yeah, it's okay. I enjoyed it.
It was so bad in this.
I think what is bad?
But the thing is,
just a state of mind.
The thing is that
What do you think Kangana tells her producers?
And then finally,
I'm not keeping any of this.
I mean, you can keep it's personally.
But Joram, if you we can talk now, you can.
Yeah,
but like,
messaging where
don't
the
spoil
guy
it for
is.
Me, I'm a massive
Joram. No one knows about that.
Then select a different movie.
Yeah, very soon.
Release kab hoegi Joram? Hoegi ya nahi hoegi?
I think online hoegi, but studios have picked it up.
I don't think so. Yeah, it will get a proper.
No, it's financed by Zee.
Reliance nahi hai.
Zee
hai, right? So nahi hoga. But it, I think it is. Its production design and everything is like.
What is the fifth film? If not Joram, then what was the sixth option?
Ek second mein.
इंडियन
सब
अजूस
काटना पड़ेगा आई गेस इट्स दैट ओनली क्लोजेटेड इंडियाना जोन्स लवर
क्रेड 3 पहले आएगा लाइन में.
डाल दे डाल दे.
अरे भी मैं
रीमेक
आर यू
देखी
श्योर
हीरो
यू
को
गोना
मतलब
से क्रिएट 3 कंसीडरिंग जोनाथन मेजर्स के साथ जो छूटा
वो अच्छा है. तो एंट मैन नो वन वुड इवन
है
कंसिडर.
एंटमैन की वो इतनी सी क्रेडिबिलिटी भी और टूट गई. माय गॉड दैट
अरे
मूवी इज सो
गार्डियंस 3
बैड
कब आ रही
बॉस.
है वो
अच्छा गार्डियंस
यू
3 भी नहीं
वॉच
देखी
लाइक
मैंने. एंटमैन आई वॉच गार्डियंस नहीं देखी.
मैं भी नहीं देखी.
ऑडियो नहीं है क्या? क्या कोई बोल नहीं रहा?
एक
बंद
सेकंड सर.
है तो ओके.
हाँ बोलो सर.
कंटिन्यूइंग विद योर फिफ्थ फिल्म आर्यन.
सो आई थिंक फ्रॉम व्हाट आई वॉच दिस ईयर वन फिल्म दैट हैज ऑल्सो स्टेड विद मी वॉज देवाशीष मखीजाज चोराम. एंड
एक्सेप्ट टू
I'd watched Ghostly just recently. This year
हाँ
only, I think, earlier this year. And I remember not being very startled by it. And I know the discourse around it has been mostly overwhelmingly positive. But I had reservations about some of the filmmaking techniques used in that film. I thought that it felt too, I don't even know, I don't want to call it amateurish, but it didn't go in, it didn't sit in sync with the thematics that Makhija was trying to go for, at least for me. But I think Joram works as that quintessential film where all of the themes that he's always dealt with in throughout his filmography of corruption and about this misplaced
Systematic failure.
identity, systematic failure and misogyny, patriarchy, and all these themes about rural displacement, urban encroachment, right? Basically. And I think everything works over here in a very subdued and troubling way. And I genuinely think that this is the best Manoj Bajpayee performance I've
Oh
seen.
wow. I mean,
I don't know. I
Manoj
haven't been saying this out in front of people a lot because then everyone would be like, because you have watched it, because you
nee,
reviewed it, that's why you're like.
I'm
But
just saying that it's high praise considering he is
I think
legendary.
that's why it's like even I had to introspect and sit back and think that, wait, is it or is it just because of the filmmaking? But it's one of those films where even though Makhija's filmmaking is so, I think it is his most aplomb filmmaking that we have seen from him across his four films, right? If I'm not wrong.
Four or three?
And
अजी
three
भोसले.
feature.
या बट आई थिंक ही इज मेड अ लॉट ऑफ शॉर्ट्स आल्सो राइट.
ओके
चीपट कडम्पा,
या
साइकिल एंड तांडव एंड आई
सो
डोंट
आई
नो
थिंक दिस
समथिंग
इज
एल्स.
इज मोस्ट दिस इज हिम बीइंग मोस्ट कॉन्फिडेंट बिहाइंड द कैमरा एंड येट ट्रस्टिंग एन एक्टर ऑफ वाजपेयी कैलिबर टू मेक श्योर दैट ही डजंट ओवर गो ओवरबोर्ड और बिकम द सेंट्रल फोकस एंड फॉर वाजपेयी टू एक्नॉलेज दैट स्पेस. एंड ओ माय गॉड मोहम्मद ईशान राइट. आई कीप
आयु
फॉरगेटिंग हिज नेम. आई
मोहम्मद
थिंक
ईशान आयु
दिस या मोहम्मद अजीशान आयुब. आई थिंक दिस इज इजीली हिज बेस्ट परफॉर्मेंस एंड आई थिंक ही इज क्लेवरली विथ दिस फिल्म एंड विथ हंसल मेहताज रिसेंट स्कूप. आई थिंक
स्कूप
ही इज
यस
क्लेवरली पिकिंग अप रोल्स दैट आर एक्टिंग एज अ लॉन्ग एक्सटेंशन ऑफ हिज ओन पोलिटिकल सोशियो पोलिटिकल स्ट्रॉन्ग व्यू एंड
आर्यन
हिज
डोंट
ओन
फिल्म
स्ट्रॉन्ग
ना
नेचर.
द न्यू आनंद एल राय फिल्म इज कमिंग आउट नेक्स्ट ईयर सो और दिस ईयर
Oh,
सॉरी
he's obviously been
विल
there.
प्रोबेबली बी पार्ट ऑफ इट आई
Yeah, most
थिंक
probably.
सो It's coming this year.
सो
No, next year.
नेक्स्ट
No,
ईयर
but
नेक्स्ट ईयर
after Raksha Bandhan, I'm like very. I just don't know. And how is Ranjana 2 in works? I can't wrap my head
दैट्स व्हाट ही
around.
टॉकिंग
There'll be a
अबाउट. सेकंड रांझना ना रांझना तो गए ही
It's not
उसमें.
Ranjana 2.
अच्छा
It's based in the same universe.
अच्छा
Universe. Oh my God.
और क्या.
Okay. नहीं बट
आई डोंट नो इट्स
जोराम
गॉट साउंड्स
डेफिनेटली
इंटरेस्टिंग.
नो
हाँ
वन वुड वांट टू बी एनीवेयर अराउंड द यूनिवर्स दैट जोराम डिपिक्स. एंड आई थिंक द
हाँ
एंडिंग ऑफ दिस फिल्म इट इट supports a lot of those Bollywood final act confrontation dramatic highs, and it borrows from Bollywood great films, Hindi classics such as Bandit Queen, and yet it's much more sinister, if that's even possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much more I'm comparing it
but
with Bandit Queen in terms of its.
But Devashish Makhija is one best, the best thing that I feel. The ending, the catharsis is always great.
You think there's
catharsis
in Ajji? I didn't even think there's catharsis in Ajji.
It's a very angry.
I thought it was very cathartic.
One moment was, but after that, there's like a big silence, I think, in that film, which I always think is.
But I feel at least that one step that you need to take to take an action.
One scene of extreme catharsis through castration is
That's what I'm specifically talking about,
but the
I
film
didn't
doesn't
want to
end
mention
there
it.
No, I think it's the big thing for me.
No, I'm not, I'm just talking like the basic one step that the character needs to take is
of course,
like
I
a giant leap in itself, right? That's what I'm talking
been
about,
burdened by like
but
the
yeah.
filth of the universe, I suppose. So it's like
more or less.
So yeah, Joram is definitely up there. I think it's going to end up into my top 10 list by the end of the year, and this definitely seems like a film that would warrant and would work really well in theaters, and I really hope that it gets a theatrical release and doesn't get dubbed down in a on OTT, but I'm guessing it won't. I don't think so, because the reputation that Makhija has already created and harbored with his last few films, post two films, I mean, I don't think so. But I think mostly won national awards, right? For Manoj Bajpayee's performance and for.
Yeah, but I still feel it's gonna come on OTT, because since I don't know if it releases in theaters, I'm gonna be the happiest person for sure.
Definitely, and you know, I think Dasru, the man that Manoj Bajpayee plays in this film, the way the film portrays his tragedy, and as the audience, you knowing that his tragedy is not actually that, but his entire life, the way
his
he's
headphones, that's why I'm laughing.
No, I won't spoil it, but it's just that the way it uses those contrasts to make you feel even more for Manoj Bajpayee's character. And again, I don't see Manoj Bajpayee in this performance. And the amount of dialogues that he has in this film, it is, I think it's barely like, I mean, we talked about John Wick, right? I think he barely has like 250 words in this film. But
I didn't want to know that, but you're giving too much
easily
detail
one
now.
Of the easily one of the best
Sanjeev, take over. You
performances
can,
of the year.
You can talk about your lists before you
before I break down.
I think I just feel too strongly about this film, and even though I have just watched it once, it just keeps getting better in my head.
Okay, so we already
like
discussed. No, I'm just ignoring, because I don't want to have expectations from that film and be let down. So
no, I get
I'm
it.
Gonna watch it whenever it comes out. We already discussed Spider-Verse and Nanpakkal from my list. The other ones are Viduthalai, which we've discussed amongst ourselves, but we never discussed on podcast. So I think it's a brilliant film. It's not best Vetrimaaran film, but again, it's like the thing, right? Like we always keep comparing filmmakers with their own films and everything. So it's always like that kind of dichotomy. But I wish if we didn't do that, then this film also exists in isolation, and there's so much more to appreciate in this film. I guess there are like elements that might be off-putting to a lot of viewers, which I've already spoken. But I feel when you're making like a political film in this strata and in this kind of budget, you need to compromise on a few things and like get few things done in your own accord.
Does editing have to be one of those things?
Yes, that's one of those things. No, but then if I have to justify,
I mean, I've never made a film, so
probably the
I
worst justification ever. If you look at other Tamil movies, you know, they edit it in very similar ways. Like, I could probably be wrong, but
rapid,
this is what my observation in the last 7-8 years of watching Tamil films properly have been. Like, they edit it in this very zany way, so that it's like, you know, what happens is when people, it's much more accessible, and it flows faster. And the third thing that I'm going to say is, there are a lot of people who come drunk to theaters.
You use this.
So it kind of,
Well, talking about
I know it's
KPIs.
A very loose justification, but I feel
no,
this
it makes
is...
sense. It makes sense.
Does it?
But if you watch the interview with Vetrimaran with Bharadwaj, he's telling that he's edited it like this way because he
yeah,
wants it that
in
way.
that way. Yeah.
And if you watch the film, there's the camera movement itself feels like, you know, they didn't have any other thing but that, but to shoot it that way.
Yeah.
Like, it's shot on various cameras in various formats because
no, but
Sandeep, they were...
I mean, I learned this from you only. You only told me that the whole 360 thing, when it works really well. But like, choppy...
Here, it's not 360. It's not 360 thing.
Uh-huh, so, but that's what I'm saying. Like, otherwise, but the whole
here,
choppy thing is different, no?
Yes,
there
it's different.
Behem, which I don't like.
Huh?
It becomes like Behem.
It's not Behem. It's it still stays with the character.
Okay.
But if you okay, I don't know if you know about this, but Vetrimaran always dubs his dialogues.
Okay.
Because he keeps changing the dialogues during dubbing stage.
Okay.
So
I think
feel
that
could also be a contributing factor to
exactly,
his editing.
Exactly.
Okay.
It just didn't feel in sync for me, and for a while I was wondering.
No, no, he never shoots.
I genuinely checked, you know what, midway through the film, I checked that, am I playing the actual Tamil audio, because I was playing it on ZEE5,
yes.
Okay. And ZEE5
yes.
has like different versions,
different
dubs, different films, right? And I was like, I don't even know how to read Tamil. How do I cross-check if this is in sync or not? I had to check that twice. That's why I think that was like very off-putting at first, but then because of the filmmaking
but
overall, because of the...
Yeah,
I was like totally engaged.
It's very coherent, so it's like always you're
yeah.
always in with the story. That's the one good thing. But like if you watch his earlier film also, Adukalam, so that was also very much like it cuts very fast because but there the context is also a little different. It's about gambling and cockfighting, so it's like the editing also kind of works. But here it's a little different context, but still I feel once you're in the narrative, the beginning few minutes will be jarring. But once you're in the narrative, it becomes like
this
normal.
Part
and
one,
it's like,
though, also, right?
It's part one, though. Again, the whole thing which I've always said, I don't want to judge the film with its part one. I would like to judge it together. And he, for one, also has this issue of just making it longer than it's supposed to be, which happened with Vada Chennai. But I feel he's adopted the same editing style from Vada Chennai to Vidathalai. So that's that. But it still has a very strong
his last
political voice.
Was... Which interrogation?
The last film was Asuran.
Asuran, right? Dhanush.
Dhanush.
With Dhanush, yes, yes.
Okay,
so,
and what was that?
Yeah, that is also very nice, but it's much more massier, like Asuran.
Okay, yeah.
I guess that's the dichotomy. He's trying to do a lot of mass movements, but with the editing style of Vada Chennai, but the story is from Visaran. Like the story context and the style is from this. So it's a lot of mixture of his earlier films. So it's like, it kind of works. If it doesn't work, then it's like, you know,
no,
you're not with the film.
But then again, the entire recap part two thing, I was like, just stop. It's we are anyways going to watch the film.
No, I feel that is again, like the whole audience also changes, right? Because
but,
so I'll tell you, there are different versions of the film. The version that was shown in Europe was different than the one I watched in India. I watched I watched once in India, and then once I was here, I watched it here again with my friends. Opening prologue was a little different and longer.
Okay.
And my non-Indian friends didn't like the film also. But it's different. Okay. Like, of course, they won't have context, so it's like.
But it is so context heavy, right?
It is very context heavy. It is very context heavy. So,
plus it flows so fast, especially in the first two acts when you're not still accustomed to the editing and the
dancing. It's very fast.
So
it's very fast.
Yeah.
But if you watch Adukalam also, that is also very fast in that sense.
Adukalam was Dhanush and this actress.
Vetri
only. Tapsi.
Tapsi's
debut. Yeah, right. Yeah.
In 2011.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's them. But yeah, Vidutalai is great. It's on Z5 if anyone wants to watch it. Then I would like to talk about this. The other film that I liked was Polite Society, which is by Nida Manzoor, who's also made a fantastic TV series, which I haven't seen, but I've been recommended that show by many people. So Polite Society is very Indian, sorry, more like subcontinent people, cultural based in UK.
Yeah.
And the fabric is very Edgar Wright-ish. So if you like that kind of style, it kind of elevates, not elevates in terms of in like pushing the limits, but like the style is very much on those lines.
Great use of Mardala.
Great, one of the finest uses of Mardala in
Devdas
pop culture.
Yeah.
But just otherwise, also for me, it felt like very funny.
I thought so. Yeah, I think you liked it, of course, much more than I did because it's energetic and peppy and like full of life and wonder, and you like all that, and I don't. But no, I enjoyed it. I thought it was like it was fun. I mean, I think the Edgar Wright thing is a little too much. Like, I think it borrows a little too much, and it's a bit distracting to me.
The film borrows, but I feel it's like I get it overpowers a lot of the aspects, but it's not really that great. Edgar Wright uses a lot more different elements to do
Of course, this is capturing like subjectivity of like a very confused.
It's very personal.
Like it sort of
it's very
works
personal that
in the
way.
Context, it does work. And I do like how much it's like, how much it gets at like the idea of the mama's boy.
I was going to say that too. I mean, it goes with that one idea very like to the extreme. It doesn't stop
it's
that.
Fun. It's fun.
It's fun. It's a very nice watch. So I was like, I was with the film. Like I believed what they were trying to do. So.
But it also feels like it's also coming off the heels, like the footsteps of something like Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like it does feel like hyper in that.
I don't know. Everyone's been saying that, but I didn't feel that way, honestly, personally. Because of the whole magnanimity of the cultural context and putting it in a very different
That's fair enough.
Space.
Yeah.
But I still felt it's unique in its own way. I never thought about Everything Everywhere, honestly. Yeah,
it's a good
once
collage, I mean, I feel, of like a lot of different styles. Like it
yes,
in that
yes,
sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
To me, it reminded more of Bend It Like Beckham.
You said this. Yes, yes. Yeah.
Rather than the other film.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
The last film in my list is Wes Anderson's Asteroid City, which is again fantastic to say the least.
Which according to my show was released last week in India.
Someone should write something to book myself sometime in life.
Scammers.
I still remember on Book My Show, there was this film which was called Son of Rambo. And it kept showing in 2015 that it's going to play in theaters. And it never came out. But it still kept showing it's coming out next year. It's out on torrents now. Everyone's still
I was
still
so excited.
It.
I was like, oh, Wes Anderson film is coming in India. I will go and watch it. And I was like, stupid people. After
But actually, this is much more...
They would have screwed up the
PG-13
aspect ratio.
No, but there's
they would be like,
there's nothing...
4x3 cues. Let's put it on.
It's not 4x3. It's all widescreen. It's like
but still,
CinemaScope.
Dispatch had a lot of changes in terms of aspect ratio. Even like Grand Budapest, I think, had a lot of like...
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. But I feel
I think
like...
Grand Budapest was the film that made this like a thing.
I have no...
I feel people still misjudge Wes Anderson quite a lot because they feel he's too style judgy.
Mm.
And like, I went twice for the film. So I went with two different audiences. So my one set of my friends had this point of view that they can't relate to it. And I'm like, this is not about always relating firsthand all the time. Like you're still farther away from character. I feel you get connected to character in a very different way.
They can't emotionally connect it because it's so artifice heavy. Like it's because it's so constructed.
It's that way. Yeah. But I was like, it's a different kind of connection that you need. It's a different style. So that is one thing. The other set of friends had a different perspective that like, he doesn't care about anything anymore. Like he's just doing what he likes. Like if you look at what, and then we discussed a little bit about it, like how Friends Dispatch and Asteroid City, although are both very specific to certain ideas, like Asteroid City is about the city and like, you know, everything stuff that happens in the city, like in a certain amount of time. And three different plays. It's like three acts.
Oh, it's the same thing, like three things, like Friends.
Yes, it's, and it, I don't want to reveal much, but it does have those stage play thing of act one, act two.
Aryan is shaking his head in disappointment. I am overjoyed.
This is my revenge for Joram.
I'm overjoyed. But okay, go ahead.
But there is much more to it. I'm pretty sure when you discover it, you'll be like, oh, this also in it and all that.
But you like Nope, no, Aryan? I've heard it's a little bit like Nope.
It's
but
not anything
the
like
entire spaceship.
No, it's
AI thing.
Just ignore any of that. Trust me, it's
okay,
nothing.
Okay.
Don't have any expectations. But I feel his
don't have any.
that is my general overview.
From Book
like,
My Show or Wes Anderson.
Oh, book my show. So you shouldn't have expectations at all in life in general. I thought gave up on Book My Show like ages back. I don't know people are still thinking. You should actually check out PVR apps, because PVR is that one
okay.
distributor who will still get more films and show it in their lineup rather than Book My Show. But more on Astro City. It's still like the story, like people keep talking about the style is same, but the story is changing all the time. The characters change. It's very different. I don't know if people, I don't know why people say the same thing. It's not the same thing.
Because it's easy, you know?
It's
the easiest it's, criticism to throw at a filmmaker, I feel. Like
yeah, then they're stupid. Then they're stupid. So
I've been saying this for all the time.
But also the thing that I'm coming back to, like we were discussing with my friends, that how until Grand Budapest Hotel, his films also had like a certain plot to it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That plot has kind of disappeared. It's much more about...
I don't know. I'm not sure if French Dispatch is plotless. If anything, I feel parts of it are too plotted.
Heartless.
I feel it's much more vibes and more characters and just like going around.
No. So, I think it is trying to say a lot about culture and how it's about the
culture. No, I'm not disagreeing on that bit. I'm just saying in general.
But
about,
it is still very...
About like... Okay, when I'm saying Grand Budapest Hotel or like the other films,
they're
there
driven
is a certain
by plot,
story which are driven and they
that's
converge
what I'm saying.
At the
yeah,
end
I
and
agree.
All that.
Because if you look, that's what I was referring to before we started recording, that if you guys watch this guy, Cinema of Meaning, who's the, what's his YouTube channel?
Thomas Flight.
Thomas Light, if you watch his recent video,
the
on,
Grand Budapest,
the Grand Budapest Hotel,
right?
That's what
fantastic.
Yeah, it's fantastically researched, and the way that's what he says is that it had that concurrent story, right? It is very emotional when you see those resolutions, character resolutions. Once you rewatch, once you keep rewatching it over and over again, you realize that.
I would just knock this back and say that French Dispatch also is emotional to me, like at least in many.
No, I agree with you.
So
I just feel since it's like very
I need
episodic.
To rewatch actually before this.
Yeah. I need to rewatch.
I think
French
it.
Too.
I think French Dispatch is one of the films which really plays well on a rewatch. I think so.
That's the same. I would say for Asteroid City also.
Okay.
Trust me.
Okay.
Because so I think I missed out on, because there is so much in his films, you tend to miss out on small details. And I feel when I rewatched it, I got onto a lot of details since I already knew what has happened. Which is why I also wanted to discuss with Dhruv about something, which we'll discuss sometime later in any of some of the episodes.
Oh, this is the whole director's thing, right?
Director's rewatchability thing and all that. For sure, we'll speak about that
sometime.
Later. But yeah, that's my list. Dhruv.
Yes, so I only have two remaining, considering we have discussed Showing Up, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
I have three remaining, sorry.
You're three.
So yes, my second favorite film of the year, which I mean, you were talking about how Asteroid City is like, you know, plotless and like it feels a bit like open space. You're sort of in it.
It's plotless, I think, is the wrong way to term.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, like light on plot. Let's just say that.
Light on plot. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So my second favorite is Trenque Lokken, which is an Argentinian film. This is a genre-bending Argentinian film, which calls to mind films, the David Lynch TV show a little bit, Twin Peaks. And it's basically, think about it like this, like if you go, so it's all about when you are researching something, right? When you're like watching something, when you're like reading something, you always have like this desire to find stuff, right? This whole... You're curious about stuff. You like delve
it's
deep.
4 hours.
It's So I didn't mention that. I was trying to keep it a little.
I just randomly googled and it's 4 hours 21 minutes.
4 hour 21 minutes. Yes. Okay. So let me caveat to make it more appealing. Okay. So the idea is that you enter into like a mystery almost from the get go. Someone's disappeared, and you enter with two people who know this person. And one of the things which this film, it's directed by Laura Citarella, and she's part of this team of Argentinian filmmakers and producers who made bigger, like not bigger, but like similarly big projects, which are like, you know, which are novelistic, like they feel very much like getting lost into like a whole world. So one of the films is Extraordinary Stories. I think that's lesser known. That's also 4 hours. And then the epic thing is 11 hours long, which is Love Floor. And it's it's encompassing six genres, four actresses, six genres, six stories. And it's, you know, it's really like elaborate. But one of the things, at least with Trenkelokin and Extraordinary Stories, I've not seen Love Floor till now. But with Trenkelokin is like, you go into this film and it's so gently switching between different modes of like watching, because it begins as this village mystery, right? Like you're in this town village where you are sort of, you know, finding out what happened to this woman, and you're sort of using these two men as conduits to like explore her. But then what it does is like it is chaptered in different ways. So it takes one chapter and like spreads it over two, three more, where it explores one character's point of view. And that point of view is like a totally different genre, a totally different film to the other person who's also exploring with him. So it's basically kind of getting at the idea of how someone, you basically a person, you can't really understand stuff ever from like one fixed point of view. So it's very much going back to the idea of, you know, different subjectivities, different modes of viewing, different modes of genres, different, you know, it's just, but it's all done in a way which is very light on its foot. It doesn't feel like, you know, it's hammering home a point or not even like super serious in a sense. It's very gentle, very light, very playful, actually, in many ways. It at a moment, the film kind of becomes a creature feature. Like a very cheap, it's just like the way it moves through these places is like you want to go along with it. But I would say, like, just because I know it's a 4-hour, 21-minute film, it's a hard sell, etc., etc. One thing I would definitely say, if anyone is interested in checking out this film, is that don't crave for answers. It's not a film which will give you many. Or
thanks for the heads up.
Yes. No, but I think...
Even after 4 hours.
Yeah, but the film sets itself up like that. Like, I don't think the film ever tells you that, you know, that this is going to be the definite answer. It's basically you follow one thread, right? This happens when you read a when you read a paragraph, you follow one thread. The thread leads to another thread, leads to another thread, leads to another thread. And what happens is sometimes those threads don't resolve. And you sort of, you know, go into... You kind of just get lost in that spiral.
But I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Is it kind of incoherent in terms of like inherent?
It's not incoherent at all. I think it very much puts... It's this same idea. You've seen Citizen Kane, right?
Yeah.
I know it's a weird comparison. But Citizen Kane, in many senses, is about different points of view of people exploring one person.
Understood,
you never get like a definite thing.
Definite, it's, yeah.
Essentially, take this film also as that. It's basically going through multiple people who sort of are recalling this person. And then it sort of includes her account also a little bit. So you get like a mix of this whole thing. And it feels like this wonderful haze. You kind of just go in and you're just like lost in this world. And sort of by the end, you kind of... I could have watched it for 2 more hours and been happy. Like sort of, you know, it didn't feel... It's not hard work. It's a very gentle, breezy film, which is odd to say for a 4-hour, 21-minute film. But yes, I hope I've managed to sell it in some way, shape or form.
You sold it.
Okay, good. 5 years from now, Sanjeet and me on message.
It's too early. Nothing before 10 years.
Okay, 15. Done.
Enough. More than enough.
Okay. So the next, The Beasts by Rodrigo Sorogoyon, which is a Spanish film, a Spanish language.
Which the three of you have seen.
Aryan has seen it and Shashwat has seen it. So please chime in if you guys have thoughts on it. But I really like slow burn thrillers. This is a very effective slow burn thriller. This also has one of those swerves, like narrative swerves, which I can imagine doesn't work for some people. I bought it, and I think it adds a new dimension to the film than just, you know.
Exactly.
Someone mentioned that it's like Straw Dogs. If people are aware of Straw Dogs, is Sam Peckinpah.
I've seen
1970s, really nasty thriller about basically like people stuck in a small town, and like there's this, they get a people in that town sort of attack them in like through their xenophobic point of view. In that, it's more to do with misogyny and masculinity. In this, that also comes into play, but in a way which is, I don't want to spoil, because it's a moment of departure in the film that sort of, you know, leads to that. But yeah, go ahead, guys. What did you guys also like feel similarly? You saw it last year, right, Aryan? Or both of you saw it last year?
Yeah, February actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was in at PIFF, and you know how film festival crowd is. And I think I definitely need to rewatch it, because watching a slow burn thriller after having already watched two movies, and one of them was, by the way,
Pacification, which is the slowest burn.
No, that was an evening before that.
Okay.
Earlier that morning, I had watched the new Aronofsky film. No.
Oh, The Whale.
The Whale, yeah. So it was that. And after that, I watched some French film, I don't know. And I think this was the last film I watched that day. So I think I was already, you know, once the film started, I was already hooked into the narrative and into the bleak, slow-burn, atmospheric nature of it. But then, I don't know, because I was strained, my brain was wired in looking at it in a certain way.
Yeah.
I expected it to follow a certain conventional story beat narrative.
Yeah.
And then after it switches in the last act,
I can understand that.
But I felt betrayed. Now, the more I think about that movie, the more I've read so many essays and pieces about this movie, because I was trying to figure out that why did it not work for me? And the guy, the friend that I made at PIFF, even he was like, the very thing that put you off, Aryan, that was precisely something that made me fall in love with the movie. And I was like, oh my God.
It's one of those things though. Like when it happened for the first 5 minutes, I was like, okay, I thought this is going in this direction, and it literally just like flips out, and I was like, okay. And then it sort of makes its ground up. I thought I bought into the emotional stuff in that.
For me, even then, the resolution felt very bland.
Okay, that I thought the resolution worked for me. But again, totally understand
because
why.
It becomes about the female resilience. At a very unexpected point.
Exactly. Because then for me, it was like, by making that a certain choice at the end of Act 2, the film was like, no, this is how it is. This is how it actually is. So it's your fault that you expected much from the story.
This is like I'm not sure if you've seen that really nasty Danish film, Speak No Evil, I think it's called.
I did.
Yeah, so that's got a very simple, that where you are saying now, again, where it ends, that is that film. Like, that ends at that note, where you're like, oh, you expected us to do something good. So,
but then, this was my problem with the
people. That ending was a big
ending,
fuck.
The actual ending was like, oh no, see, very rose painted, that was just
I can understand.
I was like, no, this wasn't the tone I bought into.
I think the film takes a gambit in the last act, and either you go with it or either you don't go with it. Sort of, it's like that. But irrespective, I think the first two acts are like properly like.
No, but it's a consistently brilliantly made film.
Yeah.
I vividly remember, and you know how films tend to mix up when you watch them back to back like that in a film festival. But then, I vividly remember that one scene at the bar. It's, oh my God. I think it's one of the most tense sequences I've watched in a while.
It's very like, it's like the whole thing where you speak something, but you clearly don't mean that you're speaking that.
And then one thing leads to another, and the way it escalates the tension. I think it is phenomenal.
Yeah, I think that's the sort of stuff I kind of went for in any case, but like the switch worked for me. So it sort of, I don't think it elevated it, but I was just surprised by it and sort of went along with it. So yeah, Beast, The Beast. Sanjeet, watch this. You can take a year to watch this.
Okay. Thanks for the...
You will like this. 100%.
And my last... Coming up with validity now.
Yeah, I am. But Burning, he watched now after 4 years, so now I can.
What is too early, honestly?
This one would be a slow burn then.
Which one?
Arey, yaar, kya yaar,
Arey, Burning also I watched. He's slow
burn,
burn, yaar, the joke.
Slow burn.
Okay, okay.
Kya yaar.
Guys, I was teeing up my final pick, which you all, which Aryan hasn't seen, but Sanjeet and Shashwat love. Infinity Pool by Brandon Cronenberg.
We are big fans.
Yes. if you couldn't sense from the tone that the sarcasm. Anyways, I'm not going to advocate people to see this film because I know it's fairly hard
divisive.
To recommend.
Divisive,
etc. But
it's not hard to recommend. I feel if you like this kind of movies, you might just be okay with it at the very least.
Mm.
I feel I mean, it's not that I didn't like it, but I feel it doesn't go all the way. That's my.
I think it goes all the way. Weirdly enough,
I thought it could have done more.
I do think that Infinity Pool does go all the way, but it in many a times I have already mentioned it, and many a times it feels like it's a very secondary, a very random work by a proud auteur. I mean, like it's by someone who is already a proud auteur, and like look,
I was viewing it more as a Eat the Rich narrative, and I think this is one of the better narratives. Which I have seen.
So. Are we still not done with that?
Nope.
I think that's probably why I've got.
And I feel there's more to come.
There will be more to come. But
this is the new trend.
I thought the Eat the Rich stuff in this was like deliriously black.
No, but now it's gotten real, Eat the Rich narrative with the strikes. Please remove this.
No, but. I mean, my plug for this, the note I made basically to recommend this movie is Mia Goth! !! And endless
four. Is that also representative of your
rating? Phenomenal in this.
Marks.
Like, I've liked her in X. I thought she was the best part about Pearl. I don't like the movie Pearl though. But she is on crack in this film. She is going so much for the fences here. And I was laughing my ass off when she basically goes ham in this film. So I clearly connected with the humor. So I was laughing and I was like, if you're going for that pitch of performance, I am with you. Like that pitch of performance, no one does without like it's like shedding all the shame you have about a performance, and then you like basically
zero inhibitions.
Now, like,
It's crazy now. From I've not watched either of these films, but it's crazy from this distant view that the kind of discourse that she's generated by playing these two.
Yeah, Mia Goth has her own fan base
now. Now it's become like
now. Yeah,
after
I
X,
watch both of these.
Right.
Yeah, after X, actually, more or less.
Paul was
so it's also just like the release order I feel of these films probably, which
I feel Mia Goth is the Ana de Armas alternative that we deserve.
Ana de Armas' reputation suffered, I think, after Blonde and Ghosted both. Blonde Ghosted. No, I didn't watch. I watched the worst. I watched.
But she was great in Blonde. Blonde was a shitty film, but
she was good
great
in Blonde.
In
yeah, she was good.
We don't call films shitty unless it's Amartya here. I'm sorry. I'm joking.
Okay.
You can say whatever you want.
No, you'll go direct pile of whatever garbage shit.
I also say that, huh? Let's do, like,
but you're more polite.
Achha.
Look at Sanjeet. 4 stars.
Look at me.
Distribution.
4 stars though is mandatory. No, actually, I'll explain my
rating
system. I'll explain my rating system someday. For sure.
That is it, Sanjeet. We should end with Infinity Pool, and you have to put a clip of Mia Goth shouting James mandate.
James!
What are you doing in there, James? Huh? Where do you think you're going, you little baby? James!
Okay, I'll just cut my voice to what she says instead of me saying.
Yeah.
But I think this is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting us. Please follow us on all the platforms, any of the platforms that you listen to us, and drop us a review and let us know what you feel about this episode. If there are any changes that you would like to make us, please. Also, you can also DM us on Instagram. You can follow us on Instagram at queensred.filmpodcast. You can follow Aryan on his Instagram page at Aryan Talks Film. But Shashwat, do you want people to follow you on your Instagram?
I would rather if they read my high on school credentials because I have nothing on Instagram.
How can they do that though?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll just link your profile from high on films.
Yeah.
They can just read whatever stuff that you've written. You can follow through at Terminal Cinema. You can follow me at Pixar_Baba. Thank you so much for listening again. Also, you can check out the films that are listed in the episode. They'll mostly be available online at some point for sure.
They are available online, most of them.
Not Joram and the flexes that
most
are
of them,
in
most of them. Yeah, yeah. Normal people recommendations are available. Yeah.
Yeah, Aryan is...
my 5 picks are all available.
Yeah.
Like, okay, sure. So I'll check out.
No one mentioned Boaz Afraid except for me. I'm so
okay,
sorry.
Let's end this episode.
I
thank you so much for listening.
It, no.
This is the end of the episode. Khatam.
I am going through my own Kafka's journey these days.
Boys are friends.